This is Abnormal Entertainment.
No. No one's allowed to get a beer. Two beers. And a horn. That's the only way we drink in this house now.
You have the horn?
We do actually have a horn, but we're not allowed to use it anymore because John couldn't keep his bunghole closed and he got beer all over my floor. So that musky aroma is the smell of stale beer and sex. Well,
maybe someone shouldn't have pulled out the plug earlier. Well,
oh, and she's got the perfect beer, too. Sex Panther. That's a...
Sex Panther.
90% of the time?
Every time.
As a repeat, for last time you were here, I got delicious beers.
Wow. You opened that up like a true alcoholic, sir. Congrats. I ain't got time for nothing. I'm just going to drink this out of the can. That's right. Have some class, sir. This is a fine establishment.
This is a classy can. Look, it's gold, and it's got a panther with sunglasses on.
Welcome to Glory Hound and the Uninvited Gamers. I'm your host, Glory Hound, and our uninvited gamers this week are...
Richard.
Dr. Gloryhog.
I, Prophet.
Just Colleen.
And we have an honorable uninvited gamer with us this week on the phone.
An uninvited guest, as it were.
I think that's me.
That is. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes, Michael Coe, founder and owner of Gamelin Games.
Nice. Well, it's nice to have you with us. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come and talk to us. You know, it's your first time here with us. We're super excited to have you. You're an Arizona native, so we get to see you around here and there.
Like, so much. Everywhere I go, he's there.
I think there's court orders for that kind of thing.
Yeah. It might actually be stalking. I don't know if I'm stalking him or the other way, but... there's definitely some stalking going
on. Well, since
on.
He has an IMDb page and you don't, I'm going to say you're the stalker.
Oh, that's awkward.
It won't be the first time.
The big thing is, though, is that I wanted to talk to you about today is your item meeples, because I thought that was such an inventive idea. And I just want to hear kind of how you came up with the idea.
Yeah, so it was kind of just born out of some back and forth between Holmes and myself. We were just discussing new Tiny Epic titles, and Tiny Epic Quest was on the docket at that time, so we were kind of talking about how we wanted to make it special and unique and also achieve some aspects of the gameplay. And so that's, you know, we were at that point trying to figure out, well,
uh-oh,
they're different magical items, but what are we going to do to, you know, to indicate to the players that these particular heroes are carrying these items? And so it was just kind of a born out of necessity, and, you know, we needed it for the game. And it was, you know, pretty daunting at first, because that kind of a component is very expensive to engineer and create tooling for. And so for a $25 game, you usually don't see, you know, tens of thousands of dollars put into any sort of tooling costs for a game of that, with that MSRP. So, you know, but with the support that the Tiny Epic series has received, and we're able to just continue to go back to Kickstarter with our Tiny Epic games, and people show up and support us. So we said, why the heck not? Let's just put this money right back into the game and just go all the way with it, right, and try to make it the best that we can possibly make it. And, you know, out came the item meeples, and they just are fantastic. They're worth every penny that we're spending on them, and I do not think anybody's going to be disappointed with these things. They feel great. The items go in and out perfect. They sit in the different positions you want. You've got a surprisingly amount of articulation with the pieces. It's really exciting.
And these are the first plastic pieces in your game in the Epic series, except for the dice, right? So,
yeah, except for the dice. I'm usually someone who loves the classic feel of wood, and I prefer wood in my games. Like, if you take just a look at all the Gamelan games. We're, you know, for one, we're always about having compelling components and high quality components. We never settle for just the basics. We always like to try and do something that's unique and a little bit new and innovative with our components and stuff. So, but I typically choose wood, but this was the first time I went plastic, and it's just because at the end of the day, I know these things are going to get a lot of use, and the wood is just not consistent. It's, you know, when you're dealing with any sort of wood component that you're manufacturing, there's a much higher range of defects and just imperfections and stuff, because wood is a natural element, and you know, sometimes you just get pieces where it's just a little bit strange. And if the holes are not perfectly consistent and the pegs on these pieces are not perfectly consistent, then you'd get some that fall straight out, that don't hold at all, or that don't fit. It would wear over time. So plastic was the way that we had to go. But don't let that kind of set you off, right? Because plastic's not the cheap kind of plastic, like the sorry ponds or something.
Oh, no, these are pretty high quality, because I got to...
Yeah.
You showed a demo at our local game store, and we got to... Dr. Gloria Hogg and I got to play with these tiny meeple, and I have to say, it was a lot of fun. I didn't even care if I won or not.
Did win, though.
I did win. Thank you for remembering.
By 2 points. It was close.
But he didn't care about it.
Yeah.
You win, you can say that. Like, when you're a winner, that's sure. Why I say that all the time. I don't care if I won or not, but I do usually win, just for the record.
Yeah, the plastic on these meatballs, I mean, they're very nice. I liked all the bits. And being able to put all the pieces in there and design your own character and stuff, it's just a whole branch of game development that I just haven't seen before, and I thought that was so awesome. So,
well, we're super excited about it, and we see a big future with them too. We have a fun little toy to play with now here at the Game and Games office. And
oh, I bet.
We definitely see a lot of different ways to expand upon this idea. Of course, new items and stuff, but also, you know, vehicles or animals and mounts and different things, different ways to really bring these item meeples to life. So that's something that we're going to explore a little bit further in the future. So definitely not the last of the item meeples that our fans will see. So
yeah, I think the adventure game was a good place to start, because it feels very much like a certain property that we all kind of know and love.
Oh yeah, from the 80s that we specifically love.
Yeah, but it's like, oh yes, no, I get that giant sword that's
right.
Awesome, and the giant shield that's awesome. And I backed it like right after I played
yeah.
It. So like,
absolutely, it's a beautiful looking game. I love the meeples and everything. I love being able to, you know, make them your own character and stuff. And I really love the fact that I hear that you guys are going to do other things with those, because when I originally saw them, that was my first thought, was, man, they could use these for like role-playing games. You know, it'd be so much easier just to bring a bunch of meeples and some items, and then you can use that for role-playing. Or, you know, you can use these. There's just so many places that you can use them, you know?
Basically, she's saying she wants to buy more.
At least I used to role play quite a bit when I was younger. So if you go back in Gamelan Games history, we had some accessory products that we had launched on Kickstarter called the Fantasy Gaming Figures. And they were wood laser cut figures that were in different silhouettes of fantasy characters. And
yep, we still have those figures.
Yeah, so
those are fantastic.
You know exactly what I was talking about. And that, you know, that was an attempt to create a tabletop accessory for games, for role-playing games or other games. And item meeples is really not far off.
Right. That's an interesting thought, because, yeah, we picked up a bunch of those, and we used them for meeples for our daughter, for playing with things and stuff, and then for RPGs and stuff. But, yeah, I hadn't thought about that as well, you know, like...
Right. Well, now, like, instead of just having a wood cut out of a dragon, which is really sweet, like, now I can have a sword and a shield a wand and all these different things.
I'm so excited.
More swords
for
dragons, please. Dragons with swords, please.
Yeah, we're going to need dragon meeples with sword holders.
Draconians or something.
Oh, that would be cool. That would be so cool looking.
Tiny, epic, draconian people.
I was hoping ray guns, actually, but that's...
I'm just interested what you're going to call your newer game, the Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea. Is it going to be tiny, epic, but very large Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea?
Yeah, is that a final name?
You're keeping it Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea.
You are? Okay. Well, and we want to talk to you about that one, too, because we saw, like, the... what prototype version of that at BGGCon? So, and that was a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, it actually was a lot of fun to play because I felt like it was had some of the similar elements from some of your other games, but it was a bigger game. I felt like it would take a little bit longer, and I'm just excited to have a bigger game to have everybody coming, be around, and play.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, at the heart of my publishing philosophy, I don't like big, crazy, nasty games that take hours to play and I have to go through a college course to learn it and then like teach everybody in a 45-minute seminar about how to play it. I don't like games like that. I didn't come from a big board gaming background. You know, I came from video games and stuff, more instant gratification. So I like board games where I can get in, learn it real quick, and get playing real quick. But of course, they need to have meaningful decisions, right? But that's Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea just captures that. It really allowed Scott to kind of explore some concepts that he first started exploring with Tiny Epic Kingdoms, but now we can really, really develop them and really evolve them. And so that's exactly what Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea has done. It's really like a big brother to Tiny Epic Kingdoms, but it's easy to learn. I mean, the game is going to, it's going to be tremendous. It may be the biggest game in a lot of people's collection, but just the base game alone is going to have 80 highly detailed miniatures.
Holy cow, 80?
Fantastic production. It's definitely a masterpiece of ours collectively, everybody involved. But the rule book's like 5 or 6 pages, and it plays no more than 2 hours. So it's really straightforward, and you get into it, but then once you learn the different things you can do, that's when the exploitation begins, and you just start really seeing and kind of unfolds all the strategy. It's really compelling.
Well, and I was talking to somebody about the miniatures for that game. I don't know if I heard this correctly. Who's doing the miniatures for them? I thought you said somebody was designing them that did Mice and Mystics or something?
Yeah, so so Chad Hoverter, who sculpted the miniatures for Mice and Mystics and Tail Feathers, he's the sculptor for this game as well, for Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea. So gamers that are familiar with those games and those sculpts in particular will know the level of detail that these sculptures are going to have. So, I mean, in other words, we went out and found the best of the best and ponied up the dough and made sure that our minis were going to be top-notch.
You guys absolutely did, because I saw a couple pictures of those, and they look amazing. I mean, just fantastic-looking minis. It reminds me a lot of the sort of detail that you see from, like, the cool mini or not minis and stuff like that. I mean, it's just each character is its own little thing, you know, every little detail of it.
I'm just excited that we get to give you more of our money in a bigger chunk, because I feel like we've been giving you like a little
tiny
bit of our money
at
and
a
like
time,
right
yeah.
like every you know a couple, and now it's every couple like, months okay. and now I can just give you like a big chunk and feel satisfied with that.
I am super excited about that game though. Seriously, it's I love very large thematic games. That's kind of where I like going with games, and that's what it looks like it's going to be, and I'm super excited about that.
Well, it won't disappoint, I assure you. And, you know, it's coming up pretty quick on Kickstarter, so we'll definitely be sharing a lot more information about the game in the coming days and weeks. So
I'm so excited. Can you tell us when the Kickstarter will be launching at all yet?
Yeah, so our launch date right now is January 26th.
Oh, okay. I'm going to write that down. That's birthday stuff right there.
It's your birthday, Mom.
Oh, it's too bad your birthday is right before that.
Oh, darn.
Maybe birthday next year.
Well, you know, we also wanted to kind of get to know you, too, as a person. We don't want to just talk about all the cool stuff that you're doing, but we also want to get to know you. And how has the Tiny Epic series changed your life?
Well, holy smokes.
I know, we're going to get deep in here. We're going to get deep questions.
Well, he did eat pizza tonight, so well, I mean, that's probably...
life-changing events.
He probably didn't do that before Tiny Epic Kingdoms.
You know, it's changed my life and my family's life in a major way. It's allowed me to stop kind of the mundane 9-to-5, and it's allowed me to do, you know, what I love most, which is making games. And now that, you know, I essentially can do my hobby and take care of my family and start building a future for my daughter and my, you know, new daughter to come here. I've got another one that's coming in March, and so that's quite exciting. So it's really, it's just been a tremendous thing. And I mean, you know, whether that's Tiny Epic or Kickstarter or it's all kind of just one, but it all started, you know, a few years back with Kickstarter and kind of slowly building one game at a time. You know, it wasn't hugely successful right out the gate. You know, a lot of people will reach out to me for Kickstarter advice and they'll say, you know, I'm starting this Kickstarter. I have a game. How can I have the kind of success that you've had, you know, with Tiny Epic Western, Tiny Epic Galaxies, or Tiny Epic Quest? And you know, I always direct them to my very first Kickstarter, Rise, you know, and I'm like, check that one out, or Dungeon Heroes.
Yeah.
And, you know, try to hit those numbers. Don't worry about trying to hit these huge numbers that Tiny Epic is producing, because, you know, by the time I got around to launching Tiny Epic Kingdoms, I want to say that was like my fifth or sixth or seventh project or something. So I had launched,
right,
you know, several projects before that in which we're not nearly as successful.
I think that's a good advice for almost any measure of success, is a lot of times just not giving up. Persistence and seeing things through usually is what gets you to your goals.
Absolutely, and was absolutely the case with you know, with myself in this situation here. And you know, I had opened up from Game of Games. I had only published my own stuff, and so I finally opened up to other designers. And Scott Alms reached out to me with what became Tiny Epic Kingdoms. And a big part of that success, I believe, was getting the game out there. At that time, there weren't as many publishers on Kickstarter as there are now, but the publishers that were creating games, there was a lot of discussion in the industry, you know, amongst the publishers, whether or not it was a good thing to release your game in a free print and play version prior to launching it on Kickstarter. That really wasn't being done at that time. So, you know, something that I was kind of back and forth on myself, and decided ultimately with Tiny Epic Kingdoms that I was going to give it a try. And so I released a free print and play version of it prior to launching it on Kickstarter. And the game is simple enough. And part of the fear was that, you know, if they can just print it off and have it for free, then why would they buy the finished game? But I felt the, you know, case would be that if they played it for free and truly loved the game, that they would then want to have it fully illustrated with nice components. And so that was the philosophy I took and followed that down that path. And on BoardGameGeek.com, the free print and play had accumulated almost a couple thousand downloads prior to launching it on Kickstarter. The page for the game on BGG.com had accumulated, I want to say, almost 25,000 page views. So I knew that it was resonating with people in its free print and play form. And when I launched it on Kickstarter, they showed up in droves and definitely showed that, you know, it's not a bad thing to get your game out there for free. Essentially, give it away and it'll come back to you kind of theory.
So you're saying board gamers like free things.
Well, I think it's more like... Sorry, I think it's more like the fear these publishers have of showing something off before it is out there. Because it's kind of the new ethos to like show how the sausage is made or whatever, and like you can change the rules by having print and play, having a beta test before the product is out there, so you can make the product better and show, you know, here's a thing, you know, do you like it? Well, if you want like it, you can get the better thing. Like,
yeah, and I went ahead and I downloaded the print and play on the first Tiny Epic Kingdoms, and I downloaded the print and play, and then I immediately purchased the game without even playing the print and play, because I was like, wow, if this, you know, entity wants to release their stuff for free and allow me to play with it ahead of time, like, I want to give something back for that. You know, I want to go ahead and purchase the game. I want the full art. I don't just want the print and play. And it almost gave me, like, that almost like a sense of safety, almost, you know, a feeling of like, oh, okay, well, this is a safe move because, hey, they want us to enjoy it. You know, they're behind this fully. They want, you know, people to play test it. Like, it made me a lot happier and a lot more invested in the game when you did that. Like, I thought that was an excellent move. That was awesome.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear the feedback on that, because that was the intention. You know, I wanted the, you know, gamers out there to see that, you know, for one, there was nothing that we were trying to hide, but for two, we had a freaking awesome game on our hands, and we wanted people to see that.
Well, it worked really well. It was fantastic. I mean, I still download the print and plays every time you have them out for the games, and we, as gamers, really appreciate that. I always appreciate being able to play it ahead of time.
Well, so, I'll keep doing it as much as I can.
Michael, I had a question for you. You said that you quit the 9-to-5 mundane with the family and it growing. Isn't that scary for you?
Well, look, see, like, you know, I didn't even go into the details, really. but, you know, of course, it was tremendously scary because there was a lot going on at that time. You know, some people know who have followed my path in this industry so far. I started with a different game company that I had also founded, and I had ran with that game company with a business partner for about a year, and then at that time I was reaching a kind of an interesting point in my personal life, because my wife had just gotten pregnant with our first child, and I was having some complications just business kind of stuff with the current company. And so, so at that point I had to make a serious decision of splitting off, and kind of going my own way in the game world, or, taking a full-time management position at the restaurant that I was working at. So I had been at my current restaurant for a few years at this point, and I was bartending, and I was already an assistant manager, and I had been doing that for some time, and I was having quite a bit of success. And so they, you know, were trying to lobby for me to get into a full-time management position, to get my own restaurant, and go that route. And that time, that was a big deal for me because I didn't have health insurance. My wife was pregnant. I had no way of figuring out how we were going to pay for that. Both of us were just working restaurant jobs, and so when we found out that she was pregnant, we didn't have insurance and we weren't qualifying for any government assistance or anything like that, by just like $1,000 or something. We were really close, but we missed getting any of the assistance. And so we kind of panicked, and we found a place that was like, hey, we'll do all the ultrasounds and we'll do the delivery and everything for $3,000. And we look at our bank account and we've got like $3,100 in it. And it's one of those things where it's like,
wow.
I mean, yeah, it's going to drain us down to zero, but maybe we have just this much because it's meant to be, right? So,
oh my gosh,
we took a big risk and we went down to zero. And you know, at that point, I went down and I interviewed for the job, and the district manager loved me, and he's like, "We'll start you at your new store on Monday. We'll put you through a 30-day manager training, and then you're good to go." And I, you know, and I had done that on, I think, Thursday, but then that Saturday, I had everything, you know, I kind of already ended things with my previous company. And so I was now looking at starting essentially Gamelin Games, which I had kind of already started, but I was kind of going to bring that back and revive that now that I was removed from my other company. And I was going to try to make it a second attempt at, you know, publishing in the hobby space, but just on my own as Gamelin Games, or alternatively, take this management position. And I decided to go Gamelin Games, and thankfully, I had the full support of my wife, who has just been a tremendous partner, both just in personal life, but also in business. And so the fact that she, you know, stood by me in that decision and, you know, wasn't the wet blanket and wasn't like, you know, how can you possibly consider that instead of taking a secure restaurant job where they'll give you health insurance and pay a salary? What are you thinking, right? Like,
I need you to talk to my wife.
That's awesome. That's a freaking awesome story. Wow.
You were at a crossroads and you chose the fun path.
Right.
And it worked. That's
yeah, that's awesome.
That's a good thing.
Because I keep trying to quit, but she keeps making me go get a new job. I got the quitting down. It's the having to find a new job part of this rough.
Right. Right.
That is awesome. It's so great to hear whenever somebody is doing really good. It's like, ugh, it gets me excited. Sorry. So I have to ask, what was the first board game that introduced you to the hobby? So your virgin board game.
Well, so...
And if you say Monopoly, we will immediately end this call. But it probably...
Oh, dang, we lost him. I don't know what happened.
It probably was Monopoly, though. I think that was everybody's first game.
I think my most memorable game, just to give you some time to think about, was Fireball Island. Have you guys ever played that?
No.
I've seen the commercials for that. The it's got the little red ball.
Isn't that like the most rare game ever now? Because like they stopped making them because like three kids died.
it is extremely rare. I have looked into trying to get a new copy.
I know you have a penchant for really rare old games like Shogun, and trying to find even just pieces for that was fun and expensive.
I have an acquired taste when it comes to vintage board games.
I don't like any game made after 1980. It's all just fluff now.
The rule books are so readable.
Nothing black and white, huh?
Yeah. All my games must be black and white only.
That's how it was back then.
So what was your first game then? And don't say that Fireball game, because we already have that one.
Yeah, we already took it.
Yeah. No, so my first one really that was kind of like a hobby, getting into the hobby per se, not just like Ameritrash kind of game when I was a kid and stuff, I would say was Stone Age.
Oh, okay.
I played Stone Age, I played Tikal, and I played Carcassonne. So those three games I kind of all played on the same day that I was exposed to the hobby industry. And those three games blew my mind. I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. Games are pretty cool. They're not stupid like I thought they were when I was a kid. They're actually really good.
I think that's always shocking to everybody whenever you introduce them to newer games. They're like, oh, what are we going to play? Are we going to play Scrabble?
Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah, no. And yeah, and getting that effect from people, like, no, there's a whole new world of games
out
there. Yeah,
it's like, I know that you've been not paying attention for the last 20 years or so, but there's like a million games now. And some of them are really, really good.
Those are solid games, though.
Some of them are even tiny and epic.
Yeah.
Call it epic years.
Yeah, you have a lot to do with it, apparently. We have a lot of tiny epic games.
They
don't take up much space, though, so that's good.
That's perfect, yeah. I mean, they fit on the shelf really well together.
I think you should do a Kickstarter for mat tubes or something for all the extra
game
mats.
Yeah, all the game mats. Yeah, definitely. Well, we did want to play one game with you, one round of Snake Oil today. Have you ever played Snake Oil before?
Nope, I don't even know what it is. I didn't even Google it or anything.
Oh my goodness, this is going to be interesting then. Okay.
So I'm guessing he is the person we're pitching to.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know how we wanted to do it today. Okay, so Snake Oil.
He is a professional pitch man. So, I mean, he should probably have to pitch to one of us.
Snake Oil is like an apples to apples or Cards Against Humanity sort of game.
Mensa Select.
But it is a Mensa Select game, so you're getting smarter for it.
Just by reading the title, you got smarter.
Everybody's going to get a certain amount of cards. And then you have to pick, what, two of them, right?
Two of them.
You got to pick two of them. And we're
we
going
to
have
to him,
a profession. Yeah. So like, say my profession is I'm a teacher, and then everybody looks at their hand and they see what cards they have on their hand, and they have to build an item that a teacher would want. And they take those two cards and then they have to tell the person a pitch about why their product is so fantastic. And then whoever has the most fantastic product that the teacher decides on, they win.
That's right.
So we're going to do one round, and then We got cards for everybody. Yeah. Are we going to have him do the profession, or should we have him pitch?
Yeah, I think it'd be great to hear him pitch, but since he doesn't have any cards,
that's okay. We can tell him.
We could give him his cards over the air now. He could write them down. Do you have a pad of paper and a pen? You have gambling pins. I know you do. I have some of them.
Yeah. Do you have a pad of paper and a pen? I can give you your cards.
He's totally getting a pad of paper right now. He does everything we tell him to.
Totally rushed. Oh yeah.
By our command.
Give me your credit card numbers.
All right, then who?
I'm gonna be the judge. I feel like I should be the judge because it's my show. So
okay, well,
I'm gonna be the judge.
Well, I think you're very practiced at it.
Yeah, so. She is very judgy.
I'm very judgy.
preach on.
Okay, so the cards you have in your hand are odor, bowl, sun, cannon, and brick.
Did you say cannon?
Yes, cannon.
Like the old-timey pirate cannon.
Okay.
So or new-timey pirate.
I've got five cards in my hand.
Yes.
And you take two of them and make... You take two of those items and make a thing.
I am going to be a cowboy. I'm a cowboy today. And so out of those cards... Or a cowgirl, yes. That's true. I ride both ways, okay?
Reverse and
reverse cowgirl.
So I'm a cowgirl, and you have to pick two of those cards and make some sort of contraption out of them, and you have to pitch that to me. So we won't start with you, so you can have time to prepare. But we will start with iProfit because he's the best at this.
Oh. Wow, no pressure.
No, you can start with me.
We can start with you?
Right. Okay, he's professional.
If you're ready to go, you can pitch it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen up, cowgirl, because I got just the same for you. So I've lived many years on farmland and open pastures, and I'll tell you what, you're going to love this odor cannon. Because you bring this thing around with you anywhere, and it doesn't matter if it's the cows or if it's you that's just stinking, you've been out working all day, you shoot this odor cannon, and it's going to cover easily a 30-yard radius, and it'll just give whatever smell you load into that cannon.
Oh.
You just shoot that all around.
Okay.
And it'll mask anything.
I don't want to interrupt, but are you trying to sell her militarized Febreze? Is that what you're... I mean, that might be trademarked.
Nope, the best thing about this is it's all natural, chemical-free, so you don't even have to worry about breathing it in. It's not going to hurt your lungs.
That's fantastic. Free. Okay.
That's good, because she is also chemical-free, so it's very good.
That's very true. That's fantastic. I like that idea, because, you know, if you're a cowgirl and you're out on the range, like, you know, you might need a little air freshener whenever you get back into town. Who else is ready?
Those horses can rub off on you for sure.
Right.
All right, I'm ready, cowgirl.
Okay.
All right. You know how the guys, they're all so good at burping, right? Right. And you're like,
yeah,
I love
your husband
burping
is
too.
Super good at it.
I love to burp too. I love burping so much that I have a burp clock.
A burp
so
clock.
Every hour it does a good belch, but each hour is different and unique. Just for your favorite pastime.
They have bird clocks, they have cat clocks, and now there's a burp clock.
There is a burp clock.
Okay.
For your every burping need.
Okay. All right.
In case you get lonesome on the range.
I feel like she's not feeling it.
I don't know how much I would use the burp cloth.
Not
or burp clock.
Well, you don't need to. That's the great thing about it. You just set it and forget it.
You set it and forget it. All right. Who do we have next?
iProfit looks ready.
Okay.
Well, howdy, Missy. What I think you need is something much more sophisticated.
Okay.
See, I see you wandering around these parts and winding up going into all the local stuff. And I think everyone around here is kind of bringing you down. You're starting to not feel like you know what you're doing and such.
Okay.
So what you need is this mighty fine belt. But not just any belt.
Okay, I like belts.
It's a brain belt. So this brain belt, this brain belt's going to increase your brain power.
Okay.
So you're going to be able to do things twice as fast as everyone else. You're going to be able to shoot varmints faster. You're going to be able to hogtie pigs faster. You're going to be able to
you know, line dance faster. Whatever you want to do, you're going to be able to do faster.
Burp? Burp?
You could even burp faster. It increases your brain power by twofold.
Okay, that doesn't sound too bad. Everybody needs a little bit more brain power.
Yeah, you could definitely use some more.
Oh, wow. All right, who's ready next?
So, you ever been in a town and you had to shoot it up? Like, you just, there was just.
What kind of town are we?
I was going to say, what are we talking about?
I mean, you just get in a fight.
Pretty sure that's illegal.
You get in a fight and there's a lot of corpses laying around.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden you find that the gravedigger is also dead because he got shot in the crossfire.
Okay.
So.
That wasn't me, though.
I'm offering a service to you to follow you around and create corpse art.
Oh man.
All these corpses
I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
100% sure.
They did that at the science museum.
It is not illegal.
It's recycling.
In all but five states. But then you can have lovely corpse arts to dedicate monuments to your awesomeness. To your shooting ability.
Okay. Well, the monuments to my awesomeness is appealing.
Right.
That's a very
so
appealing
it,
thing.
It's a service. So we follow you around across the prairie. And when you get in those tough positions where you just have to shoot it out, we clean up the mess. The whole thing. All the bodies. All cleaned up.
All the bodies. All of them.
I like that one.
Maybe I need to sell both of you an odor cannon.
Well, I mean, there's burping, dead bodies.
That's a good call.
Brain matter on your belt. I mean, that's all very nice. But I mean, what year is this? I could come to you with an old timey talk, like old timey eye prophet over there, and be like, "Well, howdy, Missy." I don't know how to do old timey.
You just can't do voices.
Well, howdy, misogyny.
Right. I can't actually do voices, but what I can do is something much, much better.
Okay.
This is 2016.
Yes.
You're a cowgirl.
Yes.
You've got a big cowgirl business where you produce cowgirly things. I don't know. That's none of my business what you produce, but you do. And so what every cowgirl needs is a solid HR department.
And
what every HR department needs, especially for a cowgirl HR department, is a regret puppet. It's a little puppet.
Okay, that's very millennial of you.
Hey, it's a regret puppet. Calm down, burp clock.
He doesn't like labels.
I'm a millennial. I don't like labels. So you take this regret puppet into your HR meetings, and there's going to be a lot of regret because cowgirls are downsizing everywhere. It's a real tough market. Recession. I didn't say recession, but the R word. So you take your regret puppet, and then whenever you have to lay somebody off or, you know, there's any kind of just...
Christmas party
shenanigans. Mm-hmm. It happens every year. I mean, cowgirls are famous for having shenanigans.
Yeah.
So you take
there's lots of bull riding.
So you got the regret puppet. You tell your regrets to the puppet, and, you know, then the person doesn't go crazy and shoot the place up. It's very good. It's very good. You got all your bullets left for shooting up towns for your corpse art, I guess. I don't. But a regret puppet. You definitely need a regret puppet. I regret actually playing these cards.
I'm noticing that.
As I got further into it, I should have gone with the silent stick, but then I would have had nothing to say.
Oh, well, the silent stick would have been a good one.
Yeah, because you just want me to be running. But then that would give you the option to talk, and that's the only thing you want in this marriage. So I don't know if that's the right choice. So regret puppet? No. I'm going to talk to a regret puppet right now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to rule out the burp clock. I'm sorry, just Colleen. Geez. The burp clock was not, I was not in it. The burp clock.
But wait, there's more. OxyClean now comes in 20 flavors. Seriously, though, don't eat OxyClean.
I liked the odor cannon. I liked the brain belt. Liked the corpse art. The regret puppet.
Wow, everybody's was awesome except the burp clock.
Well, the regret puppet is good in the fact that, like, I would use that now. But not as a cowgirl.
I'm thinking of it like it would look like a dolphin, you know.
Like a dolphin?
You could tell.
I think a horse.
Yeah.
I might have stolen this idea from Archer, the show.
Yeah, you would have to make it into a horse if it was for
I'd bring
a cowgirl.
Pam with me. Pam could come with a regret puppet. You could talk into the dolphin.
That's a totally different story then.
Where did he touch you? But, so no regret puppet then. Okay.
Yeah, we've been.
This is a tough decision.
Crossed off the list.
We've been crossed off the list.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk to the regret
literally,
puppet while they're doing this.
She's written it down, and
yeah, I literally wrote it down and
list.
I crossed
like,
it
her
off.
Yeah. I mean, I think
several scratches.
Was,
is yeah, like not
it's
one.
Like she doesn't even want to see it anymore on the paper.
Yeah.
Burp puck is.
We got time to order pizza over
list.
Here.
I didn't know this was going to be so hard. These were good ones, guys.
That's what she said.
Well, yeah.
Regret puppet.
Regret puppet.
I'm going to have to go.
That sounds like a nice. Band
corpse art or the odor cannon though
okay.
I mean I like being smart
it's just like really like who do
I
you want to
like
suck
I'm
up more
smart.
To and I feel like you should probably go for Michael Coe.
You think so? Should he get honorary yes
no don't just give it to him but make him feel like he really earned it and then
really
later ask him for free stuff.
Oh okay
off the,
right
off
right.
the air very professional off the air we'll ask him for free stuff.
Make sure you understand how that brain belt's going to be installed before you go make
it. Ooh,
that's true.
Because like, what if he's grabbing your brain?
He's dissing the other.
That was good.
Out here.
Yeah.
And how often do you want to look at smelly bodies? Really? I mean, let's be honest.
No,
there.
You don't have to look at them. They're already. In the town you've already left, they're monuments to your awesome.
So you're
left
leaving
across
behind corpse art. That sounds
yes.
even worse.
No, and, like, and they have plaques at the bottom.
So this corpse art's for what? Their future generations look at like, oh look, that's my grandma on that corpse art over there.
I mean, yeah. You know. Archaeologists are going to find plaques of your awesomeness
of
forever.
Awesomeness. I enjoy the awesomeness, but I am afraid I'm going to have to go with the odor cannon because
purely the wise choice.
Yeah, it does work the
now
best.
Now tell him
for
what he's won.
Girl.
You get nothing.
Yeah.
So congrats.
Well, thank you so much for playing with us.
Three well, easy payments.
Thank you so much for hanging out and playing with us today and being on the show. Is there anything that you would like to say before you go? Do you want to go ahead and make sure we know your website, anything like that?
Yeah, no, just check out gamelingames.com, G-A-M-E-L-Y-N games.com. We have everything up on there. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, @gamelin_games, or at Facebook. /gamelingames.
Definitely.
Nice. All right. Sweet. Well, thank you again, and we will probably see you around, okay?
Yeah, like probably 5 or 6 times.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Right.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Disconnect.
And he will never call us back.
Well, I think that's the point of these interviews is to make sure that no one wants to talk to us again.
They're like, awesome. And this was not awesome. This was not awesome.
Actually, I think it was not a bad interview.
No, it was really good.
That touching
it was
moment
very awesome.
Where,
I know.
Where everybody
so
wasn't
sad.
Trying to laugh like a 12-year-old talking about wood meeples.
And, it was, yeah.
It was hard.
There's a lot of innuendos in like
yeah.
a 1 minute span.
Yeah. It was,
turn it down
it was
a
very
bit.
Hard.
It was hard for the
it was so
group
hard.
To control.
I wanted to be like, you know, this is an After Dark special, right? Like, I don't know if we made that clear enough.
Well, he's a businessman. He's got to run these things, you know, and he's got to appeal to a gigantic audience. So, like,
gigantic wood audience.
That's true. They do a good job, though, because, I mean, every time I see them, I either get free donuts or at one point in time, they had a thing where, like, if you beat Nate, one of their guys, you actually, like, won his shirt. It was kind of cool.
Off his back?
It wasn't literally on his back, but he may have worn it. It seemed like it may have been worn. I don't want to cast.
He just doesn't like doing laundry, apparently.
That's what.
So,
oh,
yeah. They just give away his dirty.
He's like,
clothes.
I work for Gambling Games. I just throw these shirts away. These ones are all dirty. That could be the case.
Oh, it's fantastic talking to him, and I really did want to know a lot more about the item meeples and stuff.
I did.
They're so cool looking.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen them in person. Like,
oh, you haven't.
They're two part, and it's basically like they've. I do mechanical engineering and design, so I know all about how they would have to design these things.
Yeah, I know. I totally flipped it over and I was inspecting the back. I'm like, oh, that's how they do that.
Yeah, so it's basically...
It's like they put holes inside of a plastic thing.
They've got hexagonal holes in each arm. That you
hexagonal.
Can stick
I saw the little video online.
Oh, yeah.
On their website.
I do see myself probably purchasing some because I'm not very good with my money.
Didn't you guys back that?
We have backed everything they've done Tiny Epic Kingdoms,
yeah,
I think was our first backing. But
I think we have almost every game.
But
that
then we bought Fantasy Frontier and Dungeon Heroes from them with the special Damsel and Princess,
right.
You know, came with it and everything. So yeah, we we've pretty much given him like all of our money. It's very, all of the money. It's very unwise. But he should probably name his next kid after me. Just
it's a girl. That's, he said it was a girl.
Yeah, so yeah. Glory Hog is goes for girl or boy. It's non-gender specific.
It's universal.
It's just universal a great name.
Yeah, I'm sure a girl would love that name.
Do we want to record his bit where you couldn't hear? His at Gamel and Games and at
oh yeah yeah no I'll definitely go ahead and shout out
well
to
and then
and
you can always you know like tweet it and
oh
know,
definitely
you do your twits and all that
yeah it you know it cut out a couple times called. So thanks they're for called, everybody for should. Staying with us
on Twitters
with that but I hope it all came over really well yeah it was good.
That's good. I'd play Snake Oil with him again.
I would.
I think
well,
he did
maybe
like that.
Maybe
not
because he might win so maybe I would not play with him.
That's true. That was you know those were some strong.
He did have some solid
competition.
Pitching.
Yeah.
I definitely think that it was the cowgirl what threw me off because Regret Puppet was pretty good.
Regret Puppet is good, but for today.
Why not go with Hug Puppet? You had other
Hug
good
Puppet's
cards
good
over
too,
here.
But you got to know
when
your
lonely
audience.
On,
Silence
when,
Puppet.
When you're lonely on the range, you can have the Hug Puppet well, come like, and cheer you up.
So
like,
you,
come
I
on.
Puppet and Stick and then like Silence, Regret, and Hug. And so like I really wanted to do Silence, Stick, but that would only be, I should have said my other pitch was, and so when you got that annoying cow, you know, cowgirl sidekick, you know, me, you could be like, Silence, Stick. And then she probably would have picked that one because she's spent most
she's
of her adult
to
life
trying
to get
trying
me to be quiet.
Silence you.
Well, a big part of this game, kind of like Apple. To apples is
knowing your audience
right
for sure.
You know pitching to
well,
that person
I, you know I didn't want to make him look like a fool he is a guest so I just yeah. I lowballed
now,
it for him
now whenever you, he listens to this he'll be like oh no more playmats for you sir
yeah I definitely lowballed this one you know just because I wanted to toss him an easy one
oh that was
there.
That was
so,
so nice of you
it was very nice I'm very magnanimous
it is the time of giving
right and I do well, yeah. think of others
the
I'm very magnanimous and yeah. awesome
humble. You're very humble too.
Yeah, I would say probably the most humble. I
on
don't know if
scale.
I would just say
yeah.
humble. It's like super humble. From like meh to no, I'm super humble. So.
I love how everybody
you're welcome. Shout out to
on
Rich.
This side of the room looked at me when he said wet blanket.
Well, that's because that's what they called you in high school.
No.
That was your nickname.
No.
Well, it's because you pretty much, if I say anything, you'll be like, oh, look at that plaid purse. And you'll be like, actually, it's corduroy. And I'm like, okay, well, it ruined the joke. But
that's
thanks for stomping
not
on
true.
It.
True.
Exactly. That's it. Oh, you did it.
I did it just
it's,
for you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. We're so glad. Yay.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably talk about our honorable mentions for this evening. We have a Marvel Munchkin giveaway we have going on right now. It's going to be on all month. All you got to do is go to gloryhound.com and check out the link. We're giving away not just Marvel Munchkin, but we're giving away Chemical Chaos and a level 99 game, Dragon Punch, and what else? We got a miniature from what's the name of the company?
Mafalux.
It's Osworn Games.
Just kidding.
And it's a Sensible Shoes miniature. So
nice. And we got some cool Mini or Not promos in there,
I've
too.
I've always wanted a miniature with very sensible shoes.
Well, so here's the deal. My friends and I from high school play an online game. And we're always, you know, adding the art for each character. And we're constantly looking for...
Sensible shoes.
No, we're constantly looking for female art. From fantasy that isn't just cheesecake, and it's actually extraordinarily difficult to
I love
find.
Cheesecake.
Well, right, but I mean, but it's got to get all
hungry.
Hot, and then the cheesecake falls off of you,
well,
and then you've got no armor on.
We're trying to have like characters, not just pinup girls, because we could have that. It's the internet; we can have all their clothes.
Because board games are totally in. So many chicks.
But,
got them all.
So when I was
like
looking,
my Pokemons.
When I was like, oh, maybe there was a fantasy art Kickstarter that I could find who did it that was more, you know, realistic. And I found these realistic female miniatures that had realistic armor, realistic like not, you know. They were all
like Brienne of Tarth. Like, yes,
yeah.
I want my women to look like they
well,
can probably beat me up.
I mean, they weren't all didn't all look like Brienne of Tarth. They actually had.
Well, that's
like,
because there's not enough. I mean, not all women can look like Brienne of Tarth. All right, that's an unhealthy.
All right,
stereotype.
Anyway, sorry.
All right, well, we got sensible. That going on the website, so go ahead and check that out. And
AZ Game Fair.
Yeah, AZ Game Fair is coming up on January 21st to 22nd. So make sure to get your tickets. Tickets are limited on that. If you like RPGs or just want to hang out and play a bunch of board games, they'll have a giant board game library there.
I got some news if you want.
We'll have to do
talk about it next
time.
Yeah,
now.
Sorry.
Now.
All right.
Sunday.
This has been a Glory Hound production in association with Abnormal Entertainment. For more shows, game news, and amazing adventures, follow us at gloryhound.com, at gloryhound on Twitter, or in Glory We Trust on Facebook.
Head to abnormalentertainment.com for all of our podcasts and blogs. Go to cinemaheadcheese.com for our movie reviews and news. Don't forget our YouTube channels, Abnormal Podcast and Cinema Head Cheese. Get us on Twitter, at Abnormal Podcast, and find all of our shows and Abnormal Entertainment on Facebook.
You've been listening to the Abnormal Entertainment Network.